Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
But I do have two important things to say before I get in to my message. In what state did the pilgrims arrive? Exhaustion. All right, we got to warm up here. All right, why did the mashed potatoes cross the road? To get to the other sides. There we go. This side wins for laughter today. Well, if you haven't been here before or you're just coming back in, we have spent the entire month on identity reset. Who has felt their identity in Christ getting a reset, getting renewed and refreshed? It's been amazing. As I shared last Sunday, we found ourselves resetting identity of spaces in our house, in our garage. And Jessica has been priming the sensory-friendly kids space at the end of the hall on the left. I actually haven't seen it yet this morning. I need to go after. But can we give it up for her this morning? She's been working hard. I'm so excited for that room. I think all of us adults need a sensory break after that room is done. So we can have a second worship service in there later. But who am I? This is a question we all ask. And I think that's probably why some of us like to watch HGTV, because they go in and they're like, what could this house be? And then they just put a bunch of paint on the walls and redo it. And it's a lot easier to redo a house than to redo a life, right? At least that's what I've found whenever I've tried to do anything in my house. What would life look like if you lived like you are totally loved and accepted by God? We've been asking this question every week, and it might seem redundant at this point, but it's a question we should ask every day. We're breaking through performance-based thinking and unpacking how to walk in God's secure love. So just a quick review before we get into today's message. The first Sunday, Bill Vanderbush was here. Wasn't he amazing? And he talked about King David bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem in 2 Samuel, a powerful metaphor of how believers carry God's presence. He asked the question, how would you act if you knew the Ark of the Covenant was in your living room or in your office or in your marriage? And then he reminded us that we carry God's presence, right? Emmanuel, God with us now. Amen. The second Sunday, we looked at who Father God is, because we can call God Lord and Savior, which we need to, but when we call him Father, that's when we walk in our identity as sons and daughters, right? That was a quote from Bill when he was here. And we looked at who Father God is. He is decided in his love for you, D. He is accessible 24/7, A. And he is dependable, D, D-A-D. And then last Sunday, we talked jailhouse identity reset with Paul as we launched our Connect Up ministry, who I hope you're signing up for some prayer sessions there. The flyers are still in the foyer. And we talked about how can God break through dysfunctional cycles, memories stuck on repeat, and connect with us when he feels distant. Amen. And so our key verse for the month is Ephesians 2. The whole thing is 4-8, but I'm just going to read the one verse of that. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's gift. Can we just say gift together? It's the y'all said gift like you're the one that has to go shopping for it. All right, can we say gift again? Gift. There we go. All right, I just want to make sure we're here together. That word gift, if you look at the Strong's Concordance, it means gift or offering, a present, a sacrifice. Another commentary states that this word focuses on the free nature of the gift. That is something that is not coerced or spontaneous. How many remember Christmas as a child or at a certain stage in your life where Christmas felt spontaneous and not coerced? Isn't that the best kind of Christmas? I married into a very large family. It's not coerced, but there is a long shopping list, right? It just feels a little different when you've got a lot of people to shop for. Being an only child, I was like, oh, I've got two people to shop for, right? And now you've got all these people. And so sometimes giving a gift doesn't feel as fun when you have a long shopping list, unless you really get in the mood, right? But Jesus wasn't coerced into saving you. His gift is not a coerced gift. It's first used in the New Testament by the wise men who brought him gifts. There we go. That was a little more enthusiastic. In Matthew 2:11, and later to describe an offering we give to God in worship. How many know that at the worship night this past week, wasn't that phenomenal if you were here? It was off the charts. I haven't worshiped like that in years. It was so powerful. And we had people encountering Holy Spirit for the first time. It was just so beautiful. But how many know we didn't come to worship night coerced, right? No one paid me to come to worship night. It was a free choice. I wanted to give a gift to God. And I think sometimes we get into the motions of church and we go through the motions and, well, I have to be there. I have to do this. And we started in our marriage, the word have to, just like should is kind of like a bad word. If I start saying I have to go to church, I know I need to do a heart check because I have crossed the line into not a free gift. Anyone with me? So it's good to not say have to and have a heart check there. I don't have to worship God with my life choices or in song. I want to because I love him and he loves me. Amen? I don't have to tithe or I don't have to give, whether it's my time or my finances. I don't have to. I want to. And if I don't want to, it's an invitation to encounter God in that place and figure out what's going on with my heart and what I'm believing. So it's Thanksgiving week, and we're going to talk about Thanksgiving today because I had my Thanksgiving yesterday. So we're going to front load it this week. But I wanted to share this quote. I thought this was really interesting. The author of the New Jewish Holiday Cookbook, all right, Gloria Green, she says, quote, "The pilgrims based their customs on the Bible, and they knew that Sukkot, or Feast of the Tabernacles, was an autumn harvest festival, and there is evidence that they fashioned the first Thanksgiving after the Jewish custom of celebrating the success of the year's crops." So Thanksgiving is integral in our faith, both in the Old Testament and now in the New Testament, and then in our country as well. I grew up going to Israel during Sukkot, and you make these little portable huts that you're then outside in, and you're with your family, and it's really fun. It's actually the time that we went to Tzerot and ministered to rocket attack victims. We were all under their little Sukkot. And it was a time of gratitude. And so it's a special time of year, no matter where you are. So today we're going to talk about walking in our identity in Christ in a way that we can only access through Thanksgiving. So there is a part of our identity in Christ we can only access through Thanksgiving. Psalm 100, verse 4, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." Can we just say gates together? Now, if you've been in church for a while, you've heard this verse. Who knows the 90s song, "He Has Made Me Glad"? I don't know if there are anybody in here that, I think there are a few of us in here that were here a couple pastors back, like years ago. Nina Hopper was the worship leader, and so help me, every other song was that on a Sunday. Not every other song, every other Sunday was that song. Anyone remember it? "He has made me glad, he has made me glad. I will rejoice for he has made me glad." Yep, and I was playing my violin as a kid, and I'm like, it's not a very interesting song on the violin. I'm going to put that out there. But it is a good song. Brian was actually, if we had just worshiped a little longer, he was going to dust off an old song like that. I was so bummed. We ran out of time in worship. But that's a good song. And frankly, you know what's really sad? Is the lack of gratitude songs in worship these days. Have you noticed? There's one song, and it's called Gratitude. Thank God that it was written. We needed a gratitude song, but we need like 1,000 of them because we enter his gates through Thanksgiving. This past week, a mariachi version of Gratitude came out on Spotify. I dare you to listen to it. I'm just going to leave it there on the shelf and walk away. All right. That was an interesting car ride with that song. God bless whoever wanted to try that out. Anyway, but we don't have gates anymore, right? Now, maybe you have a garden gate, but we don't have gates anymore unless you're in a gated community, which I don't think there really are that many around here that I'm aware of. And we don't have courts unless you're showing up at court, right? You don't want to enter his courts with praise. Suddenly you're like, no, thank you, right? One of our church advisors, Chris, he lives in California, and I was trying to describe to him years ago, I was like, I think we need to remove the coat closet in the foyer. He's like, the what? I'm like, the coat closet. I think we need a bigger foyer, like we're growing. And he's like, you have an entire closet for coats? I'm like, yes, what do you have? He's like, well, we have courts. And so if you go to a church in California, at least one of his churches, they have a courtyard. Who wants a courtyard here? If it came with sunshine and palm trees, I would be in, right? Even if they're fake. But we couldn't have a courtyard, so we got rid of our coat closet and made a bigger foyer, all right? But we don't use gates and we don't use courts in our normal language. So I want to break this down a little bit. First off, thanksgiving means praise, confession, and the root means to extend your hands in worship. This is not a charismatic thing to do in worship. It's not a personality type. It's a biblical definition of thanksgiving. Amen? And so I encourage you, even this week, if you're having a hard time with Thanksgiving, if Thanksgiving isn't a fun holiday for you with what's going on in your life, go somewhere private, lift your hands up in worship, and just give thanks to God. It's like our root system going up and grounding in Him, right? That's what I saw when Pat was saying. Gates are an entrance to a city. All right, that's pretty obvious. But it comes from the word to calculate, to reckon, to estimate, or to think. And in Israel, the elders would sit at the gates of the city to discuss strategy, to impart wisdom, and render judgment in legal cases. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, "For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ." You cannot talk about identity without talking about mindsets and thoughts. I'm just going to read two Proverbs. Proverbs 23:7, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Proverbs 4:23, "Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts." If we enter God's thoughts or his gates with thanksgiving, whose thoughts or gates do we enter with complaining? I love this quote. "Complaining proves nothing but that you can hear the voice of the devil." Just put it out there, right there, right? If we enter God's thoughts, if we enter his gates with thanksgiving, whose thoughts do we enter with complaining? Do a little mind check there, right? When we give thanks to God, we enter his thoughts. We apply God's calculations to our lives. A neuroscientist says that scientific research reports that those with grateful hearts have less disease, less worry, less stress. At a scientific level, I preached a message a couple years ago about the correlation between gratitude and anxiety. A couple years ago, I locked myself out of our house, which I used to do a lot. Not anymore. I don't know what changed. I had an identity reset. And I got home, it was during the food bank, and I got home after their food bank, and I couldn't get in. So I went to the garage, and I got a saw blade. I was trying to get into our house. It's like trying to pry the windows open. I actually don't remember how I got in. I think someone showed up or something, because the saw blade did not work. Don't try that. Just put that out there. But what I realized was I could legally hang out in the yard of my house for the rest of my life. But I wouldn't be enjoying and living in the fullness of what I had legal right to. Can I get an amen? Most of us live our identity in Christ like this. You have full legal birthright as a son and daughter to access God's thoughts towards you and our world. Live with a renewed mind, the mind of Christ. But most of us live outside in the yard, not really believing we can get inside and live renewed. You following me this morning? A pastor I know once asked, "Would you pay a counselor to tell you your thoughts that you have towards yourself? If not, it's time to renew your thinking." Would you pay a therapist or a counselor to tell you the thoughts that you're having towards yourself? Would you invite a person over to dinner to think the thought, to say out loud the thoughts you're having towards the person in your house? Or would that be a very uncomfortable dinner? Right? Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing. I love that word renewing. It means renovation or complete change for the better. Like that room that's getting a renovation. A lot of us are living outside of God's thoughts simply because we haven't walked through the entrance with thanksgiving. We have no lifestyle of gratitude. Thanksgiving unlocks the door to the mind of Christ in our head and in our spirit. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." It's more than something that should be put on a nursery wall or at Hobby Lobby. It's a promise from God, right? In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5. Can you say same mindset? So my question is, are you thinking something towards your spouse or your friend that God isn't? Thanksgiving is a weapon. This isn't a fluffy, oh, give thanks plaque that you can get at Target this, or actually don't get it this week, get it next week, celebrate a week later and you'll get it at 50% off, right? This is not what that is. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. That word captive is a verb translated to take captive and evokes the picture of prisoners seized in war and carried away under the conqueror's power. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've read take every thought captive and I get this picture and it's like a sword fight. And I'm like, okay, we're going to take you captive and it's going to be this sweaty, bloody war and maybe I'll win. And I kind of come in under the thought. But this says, no, you're carrying away the thought because of Jesus, the conqueror's power. We are more than conquerors in Christ. You're not equally fighting this thought. You've walked in the authority of Jesus, right? That word obedient, to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ, means attentive listening that results in compliant action. It unites two inseparable elements, receptive hearing and responsive doing. In Scripture, the term never refers to passive agreement. It is purposeful submission to an acknowledged authority. To make it obedient to Christ. This isn't passive obedience. This is intentional obedience. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21 says, we're just going to dip into this story with Jehoshaphat. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out ahead of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." Again, I think of, he has made me glad, he has made me glad, right? And they're like, the soldiers are going out. It's not, maybe it was, I don't know, but I don't think it was quite like that. That word thanks means to throw an arrow. That's one of the definitions. Thanksgiving is a weapon. Thanksgiving before a battle releases God's victory into the battle. Why? Because we're thinking his thoughts. We have enters his gates with thanksgiving. We're fighting a battle within the mind of Christ, not to get to the mind of Christ. And I know there's the Battlefield of the Mind book. I think it was a good book. I don't actually remember if I've read it or not, but they have the teen version and they have all these versions, right? Battlefield of the Mind, that's great, but I wish it wasn't the battlefield of the mind. I wish it was the gates of the mind, because you enter his gates with thanksgiving. You enter his thoughts with thanksgiving, and suddenly it's not a battlefield of the mind. It's a surrendering, which maybe is what the book's about. I don't know. But it doesn't have to be a war zone up here, right? We can actually live in the gates with thanksgiving. Every time we gather to worship, we aren't just trying to wake up and sing some fun songs, right? It says at the very moment, in verse 22 of that Chronicles, at the very moment they began to sing, God caused the armies to start fighting amongst themselves. Worship is not a genre. While we sing in this sanctuary, God has caused your enemies to fight each other in the battlefield. There were battles that were won Wednesday night because we showed up to worship. Even if you weren't here, there were battles that were won because it was a corporate worship time. King David put it this way, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." That wasn't a suggestion, that was a command. "I will bless the Lord, O my soul." He commanded his soul to give thanks. We can choose to worship. We can choose to give thanks. It all comes back to Thanksgiving. We have some battles in our lives right now that we've been trying to fight that are just waiting for Thanksgiving to see God's victory released. You think you have to go out and you're in the army, but Jehoshaphat sent out the worshipers. And there are battles waiting to receive that victory that Jesus paid for because we've been complaining instead of giving thanks. Are you following this morning? We disarm the power of the enemy when we give thanks for what God is doing in our lives. We disarm the power of the enemy when we give thanks for what God is doing in our lives. And I would dare say the opposite. We equip the enemy when we complain about what we think God isn't doing in our lives. I don't want my thoughts to be weaponizing the wrong thing. Amen? This is so important because we can talk about identity reset as long as we want, but as we think, so our actions follow. And God isn't into behavior modification. He's into transformation that starts from the inside and comes out and bears fruit. Amen? So I want to start to just wrap up here with my last point. There is a level of wholeness and peace in our identity we can only access through Thanksgiving. Have you ever noticed that it is more culturally acceptable to be in a place of lack and need than to be in a place of abundance and gratefulness? No commercial has started with, "You have everything you need to have hope and joy and peace this Christmas. You don't need to buy our product or our medication." I've never heard that. Western culture is driven by lack, a need for something you don't have, a want for something you don't have. Whether it's a spouse, a new spouse, an old spouse, a new kid, whatever it is, a new you by Christmas. I keep getting targeted this workout ad and I'm getting offended. It's like, you can have a new body in 6 weeks. And I'm like, excuse me? I'm like, scroll that up, right? But it's all driven on lack, dissatisfaction. But the church is not driven by lack. The body of Christ is driven by the abundance of God. It's motivated by the abundance of God, right? Fulfillment, you need this product. Security, make this investment, change this job. Status, change this car and make this payment for the next five generations on that car, right? Or our favorite, health ads. You need better mental, physical health. Hey, I'm not dissing if you need some of these. Some of these are necessary to operate. But we don't have to even choose it based on lack. We can make a powerful decision to do it or to buy it or not, right? God's kingdom culture is driven by abundance, a lifelong discovery of everything Jesus died to give us. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness, 1 Peter 1:3. If the devil can get you distracted with everything you don't have, you'll never realize what you do have through Christ. It's dangerous. It's so easy to just pray and ask for things, but God is inviting us into a lifestyle of gratitude. When was the last time you spent a few moments just thanking God? Not asking for anything, not praying for anybody in need, all that's important, but when was the last time you just thanked God? I'm going to wrap up here with this story in Luke 17, verse 12 through 19. If you have your Bible, you can get it out just real quick. I'm going to just read it. As he was going into a village, this is Jesus. He was going into the villages to pray. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw him, he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well," or healed you. When was the last time you threw yourself at Jesus' feet and gave thanks? This is interesting. So in verse 17, that word cleansed or healed means a general physical healing and sometimes spiritual. All right. But in verse 19, when Jesus says, "Your faith has healed you," that word is sozo, which means save, heal, deliver, rescue, made whole. There was a wholeness that came to this man's identity only when he walked in thanksgiving. The other ones were physically healed, but the one that came back to walk in thanksgiving got an identity reset of wholeness. There are a lot of people, and I think this is one of the weaknesses that can come when we just focus on miracles. And you can see this depending on the movement that's happened in the world or the churches or denominations, where if you're just focused on physical healing or you're just focused on healing, you can get healed and you can walk away. I've seen it happen. Get healed and you never see him again. You're like, what? But I mean, even Jesus had this to his face, so why would we be surprised? But when you get healed, and I want our church to know this and walk this out, when you get a healing from Jesus, it's not your ticket out of freedom. It's your invitation to wholeness in Christ as you walk in a lifestyle of gratitude, right? The church doesn't just need healings and miracles, although that's an invitation to Jesus, but we need inner transformation. We need to live in the gates of Jesus, right? Only one person that was cleansed by Jesus in this story was saved, healed, and delivered, and made whole. They entered Jesus' thoughts. They didn't just stay in the yard of miracles, right? They realized, hey, he unlocked the door to the house. I'm not just going to be glad I touched the yard. I'm going to enter the gates, right? Miracles display power, but sharing thoughts done through thanksgiving displays connection and intimacy. This points to our ultimate purpose, to know God and enjoy him forever. Amen? How many times do we miss this walking in our identity in Christ because we haven't stopped to thank Jesus? It says, give thanks to him in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. How many times are we like, what is your will? And God's like, start with thanksgiving. Start with thanksgiving, right? I love this. It says, for this is God's will. Will means his best offer. That's one of the definitions, his best offer, which can be accepted or rejected, right? We have free will. Thanksgiving is a choice, but there is a peace that can only come through giving thanks. So if you want to stand on your feet, I'm just going to close here. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will your hearts and in your minds in Christ Jesus. We disarm the power of the devil in our lives when we focus on what God is doing. Oftentimes, if you hear me pray, I'll be like, God, I just thank you that you are moving, da-da-da-da. God, I thank you that you're doing this or that. And one time someone overheard me, and they're like, God hasn't done that yet. Why are you thanking him? And I was like, well, I'm not trying to manipulate God. God can do whatever God will do. But I want to partner with his thoughts. So I'm just going to thank him. I'm just going to start by thanking him. Amen? We disarm the power of the devil in our lives when we focus on gratitude. What if we were the most grateful people in New York State? What if Thrive was known as being the most grateful people in New York State? What if your house or your office, what if your coworkers were like, I can't get this guy to complain. He is obnoxiously grateful. What am I going to do? Because gratitude will make some people annoyed. It'll ruffle some feathers because it will disarm the power of the enemy. You want spiritual warfare? Just start being thankful. That's probably a very high level of spiritual warfare. You don't need to do the, you know, all the karate chops of prayer. That's great. We want to take authority. We can break stuff, speak life. But start with gratitude because you are entering into his gates with thanksgiving. And you can bring your whole workplace, your whole home, your marriage, your parenting. You can bring anybody with you. Drive a van through the gates of thanksgiving. So this is my question. As I said earlier, are you thinking something towards your spouse, your friend, your child, your coworker, whatever life season you are in, that isn't what God is thinking? Today, I want to start a gratitude challenge. So if you want to do this, I want to invite you, get your phone out, set an alarm on your phone. I know I'm like, isn't this supposed to be when we close in prayer? Yes, but get your phone out. Don't do it normally. But get your phone out. If you have an Apple, use Notes. I don't know what Android is. I'm so sorry. The equivalent of Notes. Do you have Notes? Okay, great. Get notes out. And write something that says Thanksgiving. And I want to invite you every day between today and Christmas, 31 days, just makes us all extra fun with gift shopping. It is 31 days as of today. To write down one thing you are grateful for about someone. I want you to think about someone that you've been having a hard time with or you want to grow closer to. Maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a coworker, a child, a relative, a friend, whatever it is, I want you to think of a person. You can do it with multiple people, but at least one. And every day between now and Christmas, you're gonna write down one thing you are thankful for about them. And I want to invite you to see how your relationship shifts. You're either arming the devil or disarming the devil with your thoughts in your home and your workplace. Let's disarm the devil together. Amen? So make an alarm on your phone. I have a 12 o'clock alarm every day. If you've ever been with me at 12, you're like, why is your alarm going off? It's a little prayer alert. But I want to invite you, set whatever time you want and to do a gratitude check, all right? Make it repeat every day till Christmas. And I cannot wait to hear testimonies from workplaces and home life of how this is gonna shift, all right? Let me know, let a pastor know. Hopefully we can start sharing some, all right? Gratitude changes. Gratitude changes the atmosphere. All right, now that you're done with that, I'm just gonna pray a blessing over you. Remember, there is a part of your identity that you can only access through Thanksgiving. There's a part of your marriage that you can only access through Thanksgiving. There's a part of that relationship with that coworker that you can only access through Thanksgiving. The whole region, Tompkins County, Cortland County, is desperate for God this Christmas. What if we were to release Thanksgiving and shift the atmosphere wherever we go? What if all creation is crying out for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed? What if it happened through Thanksgiving? So let's just take a moment right now and let's just thank God as we close. Normally I say a blessing and I'll do that in just a moment, but can we just pause and thank God?
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.